Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. 503-982-2033, Barclays, buysellpawn.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, Commander Chris, and Dr. Camaro Dave. Well, they're passed out under a palm tree outside, so you're stuck with me and Jess Prilis, the author of Hardcore Carnivore, and soon to be wed, and I'm happy for you with that. I really am. I think that's... That's a great, great big step in people's lives, and I hope it's everything you want it to be, kiddo.
Thank you, I appreciate it. It's been a big, it's been a big couple of years moving across an ocean, getting a new home country, getting hitched. Still good stuff.
There you go, and you, like you said, you can do the two step, so and you can wear a hat, so you're good. It's all good.
Oh yeah. Texan. No one's taking away my Texanism.
Your title.
My license to be Texan.
So I want to ask you, is there one thing, if I said, okay, Jess, you have the magic wand, is there one thing about barbecue and grilling that you would change? That you could go poof and it would be all fixed? What would that be?
Okay, so it's long kind of been contentious that there's this big disconnect between what I call restaurant style and competition style barbecue.
Right.
In fact, I give a presentation on it every year at Brisket Camp at Texas A&M University. And if you speak to any competition cook, they'll say to you, I don't serve this to anyone in my house. Mm-hmm. I don't serve this food to my friends. And it's not like there's a secret rule book somewhere that says, you have to inject it and you have to do this to it and you have to make it look like this. Everything that we see in competition barbecue has evolved because of just that's what the judges like, that's what won, and that's what everyone else started emulating. But it's definitely gotten to the stage where, there's something wrong if the food that they're putting up is not what you would feed your family and friends, because food is about, I think, to me, the experience. All of our great food memories are either connected to family or connected to a great experience or travel or something like that. Like if you say to someone, what's the best meal you'll ever had? In nearly every case, they'll either say it was something that a family member of theirs made that has to do with memory, or something that they had while traveling. Like, well, I was going through New Mexico, and we stopped at this tiny gas station and had these tamales. Not about the tamales as much as the journey. So the idea of manipulating food to that point, it's nearly looking like those plastic versions of themselves you see outside Japanese restaurants.
Yep.
Kind of strange to me. And so is the growth of food sport. Things like the World Food Championships, which, is effectively a giant marketing experience to sell sponsorship opportunities, which, okay, we're all, business is business, right? But that, I don't think that food should be commercialized, I suppose, to that extent. There's no room for trial and error in that case. And sometimes it also becomes a bit sensationalist instead of about why we're all cooking in the first place.
I couldn't agree with you more. I remember one of my first conversations with Myron Mixon, and I knew this going in because I had already done some of this stuff. But he said in Myron's own tone, y'all got to remember that there's nothing real about reality television, not one damn thing.
And that should, if you keep that thought in your mind, you'll probably survive the world better. But the other thing is, like you were talking about competition food.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me that there is a disconnect, because I've seen people do clinics, do presentations, and they're talking about, this is the way we trim the brisket. This is the way we do this. This is the way we do that. This is the way we inject. This is the way we... And I swear that you're correct in the fact that that's the way some of the people in the audience think that the brisket should be done each and every time to serve family and friends. And it's not.
I mean, you wouldn't inject the steak. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't think under any circumstances should anybody ever inject a brisket. And the worst part is they buy these expensive Wagyu cross briskets at like $200 a piece. And then they go to the grocery store and buy the cheapest beef bouillon or beef jus that they can buy and inject that. And it's so counterintuitive to have a luxury gourmet product and then use like entry level stuff. It's two different flavors. And in some ways, you know, it's sad because it shows that you don't really get what the flavor is about in the first place. Right.
Right. I always remember Amy Mills telling me that. She said, I can tell you that when I've been to too many competitions, and especially when I've judged, because I can't get my rings off my fingers. My hands are so swollen from all the, you know, the stuff that she said it takes a day or two and, a couple of pee pills.
It makes me hypersensitive to MSG, too. Not that I have a reaction, but I can kind of, you know, spot it a mile away now, or taste it a mile away.
Right.
Because it's so heavy. Like, most competition rubs will contain it, and not usually in judicious amounts, and then the teams will layer it and maybe even buy it and add it in directly, and it's just, it's like, there really is such a thing is too much of a good thing.
Right.
And it is much like Amy and the salt fingers, which I can totally sympathize with. I just have a zero tolerance for MSG now because I've been served too much of it during comp.
No, I get it because I don't know. I mean, I've had the same thing. I've experienced very similar things. And the other thing that for people that want to know, I've tried to keep myself neutral. That's why I don't get a KCBS judging certificate and all that. Once in a while, I judge something if it's kind of a celebrity deal and they want me to come do it. That's fine. But because of the show, I try to stay neutral. And that's the other thing is I don't compete because I don't have anything to prove to anybody. And there's no upside for me in doing competitions. That said, when you're doing that and you've judged and you've sampled that, I mean, I've already got kind of a round little face for a guy anyway, except I'm a big guy, and I don't need it to be any rounder, looking like if you took a stick pin and poked me in the cheek, I'd fly around the room like a, you know, Buster Brown balloon. So anyway, I digress, but it's true. And I don't think people pay that much attention when they see the competitions on TV, or they go to a local one and they haven't seen everything. They don't know that there's three layers of seasoning on that, you know.
And don't get me wrong. So it's also incredibly impressive from sort of merely a science point of view, how these guys can take a natural product, which is variable, and have to dial it in. And the level that they go to in terms of trimming, seasoning, grinding the seasonings before it goes on, layering the seasoning, writing down their kind of mad science. So it's cooking competition barbecue is impressive for the guys that go to all of that effort. But I've been on record before about as calling it like the male version of the pageant of the South. Like, yes, that 5-year-old has an impeccable face of makeup, but should a 5-year-old have makeup on.
Right. No, I agree. And I don't have anything against the competitions whatsoever. I think that's great. And it brings a lot of notoriety to to barbecue and to the, you know, the sports side of barbecue like that. I just am always kind of preaching about don't get confused, like you made a very clear statement earlier. Don't get confused that that's the stuff you're going to eat at home, because it's not. So
right. There
you go.
Exactly.
Okay. Got about 45 seconds here. Anything you'd like to say before we go? Other than to tell me to shut up.
Thank you so much, as always, for having me on. And if y'all want to see any more of my recipes, it's jessfriles.com and hardcorecarnivore.com. And thank you.
You're welcome, Jess. It's always a pleasure. And hopefully it won't be a year before we get you back. But I'll have to learn your new name by then. So we'll work on that. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for listening to the After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. We'll be back next week with another exciting go-round with somebody from the world of barbecue. Take care, everybody.